You're going to love my next guest. Such a good show. John Kelly stopped by. He's a 30-year veteran of the Broward County Sheriff's Office in Florida. And throughout his career, John struggled, like many of us. He struggled with alcoholism, addiction, adultery, PTSD, and thoughts of suicide. John has taken his life experiences, both the good and the bad, to develop a wellness leadership program for those still fighting the good fight. John Kelly, next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the top-ranked CJ Evolution podcast. The top-ranked show is because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for supporting the program over the years. If you would take a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us that 5-star rating and review, we sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the first responders out there, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, thank you for doing it. And special shout out to our dispatchers out there. Often you get lost in the shuffle and it's unfortunate. You have a tremendous and amazingly important job. Thank you for what you're doing. We all appreciate it. Remember this, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work and know that you have much support. If you are a first responder and you are suffering, or you know somebody who is suffering, first of all, you are never alone. You are not alone. You are never alone. There is help for you. FHE's Shatterproof Program for First Responders is here for you. Let me tell you about my experience at Shatterproof. I was a former patient. Now, Shatterproof is a unique experience because they incorporate traditional treatments such as counseling, group therapy, coupled with state-of-the-art treatment, which includes EMDR, RRT, neurofeedback, and stimulation, along with other holistic approaches such as breathwork, music therapy, yoga, biometric bed, and massage. Now, treatments are tailored for the individual patient. Another differentiator with Shatterproof, among other programs, is the staff are former 75 to 80% of the staff are former first responders or veterans who have gone through treatment and recovery and are now helping other first responders. Now, I don't know about you, but this goes a long way in terms of trust. We all know that in the first responder community. You are treated with dignity and respect from the time of your intake through your entire treatment planned. Now, you might be thinking, that sounds great, Pat, but what after? What happens after treatment? Well, let me tell you, FHE and their Shatterproof program has alumni all over the country and many, many other resources available to you when you complete the program. Now, there are many programs out there popping up right and left, touting how they are helping first responders. But folks, let me tell you this, there is only one FHE Shatterproof for first responders. They are the industry leader. If you want more information, please reach out to me on the website or you can DM me. On to the show with John Kelly. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on the show. If you need a life coach that specializes in guiding and mentoring officers through critical stages in their personal and professional career, then look no further to my next guest, John Kelly. He's a 30-year veteran of the Broward County Sheriff's Office, one of the largest sheriff's offices in the country. And he has done so many amazing things in his career. And he is here now. John, welcome, brother.
Welcome, brother. Welcome. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, man. I know we connected recently and we had a chance to talk on the phone for a while. And I'm just glad to have you here, brother. So, and you're doing some amazing things, man. You're mentoring officers. You're doing a lot of things. I'm trying, man. Well, you're successful at it, man. So for those listeners out there who don't know who John Kelly is, I gave a little blurb, but tell us who you are, brother, and what you're doing.
Yeah, man, I am one of those guys that's lucky to be alive, right? And because of that, that's not lost on me, man. So I've developed a program after I retired that revolves around your personal, professional, financial, physical, and mental health and well-being of the guys still doing the job. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty, you know, it was kind of funny, man. I, you know, I was sitting around in the motor barn with some of my guys, and I was like, listen, I'm relatively young. I'm not done with this. There's so much more that needs to be done. I says, you know, what am I going to do in retirement? And it was funny, man. Somebody said, you know, well, you know, there's people, you can sell something on Amazon. You can buy something for 50 cents, buy it in bulk, and then you sell it for a dollar on Amazon. And these guys got these videos, and I'm going, what the fuck are you talking? And we, you know, we were all looking at each other, and I was like, no, that's not it, man. And then one of my guys looks at me and he goes, why don't you do what you know, man? Why don't you do what you've been doing your whole career? And I looked at him and I said, continue, Scotty, you know? And he was just like, man, all you've done your whole career is help us. So why don't you just turn that into something? Why don't you help people that you don't know? And I'm like, you know what, brother? I think I can do that. Yeah. Right. Cause like, I shouldn't be here. You know what I mean? So, so I started this program. I realized that in all the training that we do in law enforcement, we fail our people miserably. We have countless training hours dedicated to shit that we can do with our eyes closed, mm-hmm. right? But the number one thing keeping you from going home, the number one reason why you don't go holding your family, isn't the car four deep, man. You're not getting ambushed, although assaults on us are up as well this year. The number one reason why you don't go home is you take your own life.
Yeah.
And we don't do any training on that, man. We won't even talk about it. So, you know, I said, listen, okay, we've identified the threat. It's you. And we won't even talk about it. We don't have a program in place. We don't, you know, we have all this bullshit, man. All these bosses, man, bowing their heads and vowing to do more for mental health for our first responders. And then when the camera crews roll out of there, man, it's business as usual.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm no longer on the choker, man. I'm no longer on a harness. I can say what I need to say and try to rally the troops and try to normalize conversations that we don't want to have. And that's what I've been doing, man. I've got a program called Sometimes Heroes Need Help.
Yeah.
And I've been putting it on through agencies through South Florida. And I've got some amazing people looking out for me. I've got some people that have introduced me to some people that are doing some great things. And I'm doing my best, man, to get the message out,
yeah.
you know, that one, you're not alone. Two, you know, just, you know, no matter how bad you think it is, you know, somebody's had it a lot worse. And, you know, we figured out a way to get out of that hole, you yeah. know, man. So just let us help you. Let us jump in that hole with you and we'll figure it out together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Very good, brother. And I love what you're doing, man. And the one thing I used to tell troops or people and people, you know, in academies when I was teaching there was, don't rely on your organization to give you the shit that you need. Don't rely on them. Yes, they're going to provide you with the training and things like that that you need, but you need to rely on yourself. If that means looking for resources outside of the agency and bettering yourself and paying attention to your physical and mental well-being, then do it. I think a lot of these young guys, and I'm not trying to pick on these young men and women who are getting the profession to serve, they just are like, well, shit, I'm just going to wait for the agency to send me somewhere to some training. I'm going to wait until I have a nervous breakdown or I snap and have PTSD
right.
or a critical incident. I'm going to wait and let them do. No, fuck that. You have to do
right.
it yourself and you have to seek that out, because when it comes down to it, I know you know this, brother, is you have to take care of yourself first before you take care of anybody else.
Right. Like I talk, listen, so I just listen, you know, I'm half a moron, right? So I just finished a book. I wrote a book. And like one of the constant themes throughout the book in every chapter is the notion that you can't be there for others if you're not taking care of yourself, period.
Yeah.
If you're not, you're not going to be a good supervisor if you're not taking care of yourself. You're not going to be a good husband, a good father, a good friend if you aren't taking care of yourself. And you know, it's funny. We've got a wide variety of people in this law enforcement profession of ours. You've got the newer guys think, you know, kind of waiting for somebody to do something for them. And then you got the guys that have been just ignoring for years. Yeah, I know I'm a little messed up, but you know what? I'm managing.
Yeah.
And you know, there's just that denial, man. I can't tell you how many guys I've spoke to that have been on the job 15, 20, 25, 30 years, retired, going,
yeah,
like, where were you 15 years ago, brother? And I go, you know, I know, man. And so, like, one of the other concepts of the program is once you get your shit together, there's a moral responsibility,
absolutely,
for you to care about somebody else.
Absolutely.
And I think in this profession of ours, we've confused having to like somebody. I gotta like them to care about them. Mm-hmm. And that's just a twisted concept, man. There are plenty of people I don't like at my former agency. And I'm sure the feelings are mutual, mm-hmm, right? But I cared about them all, man. I wanted to see them be happy and healthy and sound mind and body. Whether we broke bread or not was a moot point.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times, man, that we've confused that if we don't like them, fuck them, they're on their own.
Yeah.
And that's just, and from a profession that is getting beat up at every turn, you know, we talk about this thin blue line and having each other's back. You know, some of these motherfuckers have been watching too many movies, because yeah, we don't treat each other that way.
No.
We are savage. We tear into each other. If the public only knew, I think they would be shocked.
Yeah.
You know, they've watched way too many movies, you know. They think that everybody's on the same page. We do a pretty good job of eating our own, man.
Oh yeah.
And you know, this is a call to action, my program, man. I'm trying to shake people into realizing, listen, you know, we've got to have each other's back. You know, that's mm-hmm, not some logo or some thin blue line bumper sticker you decided to put on your car, man.
Yeah.
We need to be actively involved in taking care of each other. You know, I have this thing. I said, if not me, then who? If not you, then who, brother?
Mm-hmm.
You know? The Calvary isn't coming, man. Nobody's
yeah,
coming to save this profession of ours. It's got to start from within.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's got to start from within. And if we don't, we're going to lose this thing of ours, this noble profession. And we're on the cusp, man. We're
yeah,
right on the cusp. And that's the thing that keeps me waking up in the morning. And that's the thing that, you know, why I'm so appreciative that you're allowing me, you know, this little window of an opportunity to speak to you and hopefully get the word out there, man, that, you know, you got to take care of yourself and you got to take care of your brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
And nobody else is going to do it for you.
Yeah. And you know, and you're exactly right, John. And the reality is, and I know a lot of listeners know this, people are not flocking to law enforcement. When you and I entered years ago, you know, I mean, I don't know about South Florida or Florida. It seems like, you know, I mean, there.
Brother, seems like, I moved from Boston to get a job down
yeah,
here, you know, because I couldn't get hired up north.
Yeah.
Because there was no room in the inn for baby Jesus, for little John Kelly in Boston, man. So I had to head south. But
we
yeah,
got it. I agree with you. You know, we got to take care of our most important asset, and that is people. And people aren't flocking to the profession anymore. I mean, you know, I talk to a lot of my friends in Colorado, and they're lucky if they get a handful of people in a testing. And then, as you know, the backgrounds and all that shit, you might get one person, you might not get
right,
any.
Right.
And so people are leaving law enforcement in droves. And thank God there's people still willing to get into it. But I, you know, because I used to teach all the time, and it's like, you know, why would you get into law enforcement? I'm not banging law enforcement.
Right. You do a pros and cons list, man. That's a tough sell nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's a tough sell to somebody who's got their eyes wide open.
Yeah.
You know,
but I do believe.
Yeah.
I think the majority of people support us.
Oh, listen, and right, it's the silent majority, right? You don't. I mean, listen. When I was on motors, riding around, you know, there wasn't a day that went by that somebody didn't offer to buy my coffee, or you know, hey, Sarge, let me pick up that line. You know, listen, the good people are there, right? But it's like anything else, man. The negativity kind of trumps all that, and that's what you're seeing here.
Yeah,
but yeah, people getting involved in this profession, there isn't a lot drawing them. And you know, I don't want to bash anybody in this profession, but I think our bosses, man, for the longest time have been consumed about taking care of the public, mm-hmm. and building partnerships, which is all good stuff, man. It's necessary. But they have ignored their most important asset. Mm-hmm. You can't build strong partnerships with the community if you don't have strong partnerships with your people.
Yeah. And I think and I can say this, you know, from my perspective, being in those higher echelons of leadership in an organization. And I do think some organizations are better with that than others. But
100%.
But I think, you know, when you climb up the ladder, you got that 30,000 foot view. I think some bosses are more concerned with their political careers, and you know, they got bosses too. And I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just saying,
no,
I think
the sometimes reality of the situation.
Yeah,
you're right, brother.
I think sometimes they're just worried about their own asses,
and that's what it comes down to, right? You know, yeah. Everybody's got somebody to answer to. Mm-hmm. I just think that we don't do a great job of balancing that act, right?
We don't. I mean, look at the suicide rates. Look at officers' depression. Look at programs like FHE Shatterproof that have people. It's a revolving door, brother. Right. I mean, they got people coming down there all the time, which is good because people are getting treatment, but it's a testament of the state of the world we live in right now.
Yeah. How fucked up is it that you guys are busy?
Yeah.
That you guys are crazy busy there.
Yeah, we're crazy busy. And
it would be great. It would be great if that facility didn't need to exist, right?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm glad it does exist because
right. No doubt. Because but the fact that you guys are as busy as you are at Shatterproof speaks volumes.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that there are places out there, you know, for people and veterans and first responders to go. But I agree with
you.
I mean, we're at the state now in our profession where more and more, like 39% of first responders, and you probably know this, John, 39% of first responders are either suffering from addiction, mental health, or sometimes both. And that's the number we know about, brother.
Right. I was going to say, that's the only ones that we've identified through official channels, right?
That's, you know, it's like the dark figure of crime. You know what that is. That's what we know statistically, crime being reported, but that's the crime that's reported.
Right.
It's not the dark figure of crime that people don't call.
I would submit to you that throughout any officer's career, if they're going to be real and honest, they have suffered with addictions, with post-traumatic stress, with thoughts of hurting themselves. You can't do this job for any amount of time and not have it carve into you just a little bit.
Absolutely.
And so that's, you know, really that's the whole kind of push behind all of this, brother, is that at the end of the day, one, we need to take care of ourselves, and then we need to do a better job of taking care of each other. And that, you know, talking about normalizing difficult conversations, I talk about in my seminar, I talk about, you know, a situation I went through when I was a brand new officer. Yeah. And, you know, when you're brand new, man, you don't know what you know, right? The experience is wonderful, man. It solves a lot of problems for you. It can create a lot of problems for you too if you're not too quick on the uptake. I had a call right out of the gate, man, and it was involving a kid, and the kid was getting beat with an extension cord, and it was fucking horrible, and the kid dying in my arms, man. I've been on the job for like less than a month and a half. And nobody else around me was fazed. Mm-hmm. I fucking got in my car. I started crying. Mm-hmm. And then that night, you know, I hadn't stopped drinking yet, bro. I pounded And just every time I closed my eyes, I saw that kid. I heard that kid screaming and crying. And I, when I mean to tell you, I cried until I ran out of tears, man. And I just, I don't know what the fuck was going on. And I didn't say anything to anybody because I got a man up, because I don't fucking let these guys see me crying. They're going to be like, what the fuck's your problem? Yeah. You better cowboy up. And so for weeks, Fitz, I just drank excessively, and you know, I was an alcoholic anyway, so that wasn't helping. And then we used to have shift parties. Did you used to have shift parties back in the day?
We did. You know, you right? get off so, shift and then
yeah,
you go
man.
Party.
And I don't think they do that anymore. And
probably a good thing.
Well, there were some shenanigans that took place. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But one of my buddies came up. He was like, "What, dude, what's wrong with you?" I says, "You want to know what's wrong with me?" I said, "I can't get that picture of that kid out of my head, man. Yeah. Every time I close my eyes, I see it. I see that baby. I hear that baby fucking screaming." I said, I don't know what to do. And like in that moment, right? In that moment, I was already doing something about it.
Yeah.
Right? Talking to people that know what it's like to hold broken bodies. That was like the first step in me realizing that I wasn't losing my mind, I wasn't crazy, and that my reaction to something really fucked up was normal.
Yeah.
So as you go on in your career and you're exposed to more messed up things, you realize that the way to deal with it in a healthy way isn't to keep your mouth shut and to hit the bottle. And then, mm-hmm. so, you know, it's about creating an environment where guys can work through things that, quite frankly, you know, nobody's supposed to be okay seeing, right? And so normalizing those conversations and talking about the dark places and just making it okay, making it not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because when I put my seminar on, I go back, right? I can't talk about that kid without going back to it. And when I talk about my addictions and my alcoholism, like I beat myself up pretty good for that 2.5 hours. And like when I'm done, like I need to talk to somebody, right? It's like, because
but it's got to be therapeutic for you to talk about it too. Right?
It is, yeah. You know, and my wife thinks I'm absolutely out of my mind. My wife, God bless her, man. We've been together 30 years. We've been married for 27.
Congratulations.
And, I kind of kid, man. I said, you know, despite my best efforts to destroy my marriage, man, she wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah.
And I put her through the ringer, man. It was horrible what I did to her. But, you know, and I talk about that in the book. I talk about that at my seminar. I talk about the relationships and the intentional dismantling of them and what you got to do to get it back. And it's been really well received. And I think the reason why is because this is going to sound kind of messed up. I don't give a fuck, bro.
Yeah.
I know who I am. I know what I've done. I know I can look myself in the mirror now. I couldn't always do that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so if I can pass along a story, a technique, something that makes you listen and go, oh, wait a minute, he's describing me. Okay, maybe I need to listen to this guy. And maybe he might be able to shed some light on where this is going and what I need to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been very successful, you know, in that regard, is that people have come up to me after this seminar that I put on. And they, you know, they just want to give me a hug, man. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, are you good? And it's like the beginning of them realizing that they're not alone, and that they got this, like that, because I'm still standing, right? I'm standing right in front of you. So you can go through all this messed up stuff and come out on the other side. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it validates some things for people. And listen, man, at the end of the day, we spent an entire career, both you and I, taking care of other people. Almost to the point of exhaustion, right? We don't go home. We stay late. We do whatever we got to do to solve the problem for other people. But we don't put that effort into ourselves. And at the end of the day, man, again, you can't be there for them if you're not there for yourself. So absolutely. It all comes full circle, man.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend. And yeah, I know the biggest thing for me, John, was just the fear of what people were going to say. And I love what you said about you just got to a point where you just didn't give a fuck. You know, I got to that point, albeit it took a long time, but I'm with you. I got to a point where I was like, you know, I don't give a shit. You know, I don't care. You know, I need to do this for me because right. nobody is going to, and I tell people this, look, and it might sound like I'm being a dick. That's not my intention. Nobody's going to come in and save you.
Right.
Nobody, there's no magic pill you can take. You have to learn how to save yourself. Right. And like I said, for me, it was the fear. I remember when I was in treatment at Shatterproof and a good friend of mine who's a sergeant in my last agency called me up. He said, "Hey, Fitz, how you doing?" He knew where I was at, you know, because right. I told a couple people. And he said, "Hey, man, do you mind? A lot of people are asking about you. Do you mind if I tell them what you're doing, where you're at, and what you're going through?" Now, if he would have asked me that a couple of years prior, John, I would have said, "Fuck no, don't tell anybody."
Right, right, right.
Tell them I'm great. Tell them I'm doing fine.
Tell them I'm in Hawaii.
Yeah, tell them I'm in Cancun or Hawaii or something right. like that. But I told my friend, I said, "Yeah, tell them. I don't care anymore. Not that I don't care, but I care about helping people. And if my story, we were talking about this, can help somebody else, then I'm blessed."
That's it, man. That's it. That's the key, right? And exactly. You care. You care too much. That's the problem, right? And it's not that you don't care. It's you don't care. There's no stigma associated yeah. with it because you wear that shit like a badge of honor now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I've been through some shit. Come listen to me. Let me help you. Let me help you through this storm. And that's what we do. That's what you've been doing. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish they would. You know, I keep saying this, and maybe some academies are better than others, but I think in Arizona, here where I'm at right now, brother, I think they have 6 hours dedicated to talking about self-help and mental health for first responders. Now, in Colorado, not too long ago, it was like a 1 hour block,
right,
in the academy. And I get it. You got a lot of shit. You got to learn statutes and all that stuff. But I think we need to be doing more at the front end.
Yes.
Of a young person's police career
right.
than dealing with it at the back end. I'm not saying you still won't have problems because I believe what you said with 100%, this job is going to fuck you up to some degree.
Right.
I don't care how big of a badass you think you are. I thought that way. I was right. in the military in a, you know, badass unit and all that other stuff. And after time, it started getting to me to a point where I didn't have anything more to pack in my suitcase.
Right.
I had to start unpacking it.
It's full.
So, and I'm just blessed and so happy that there's people like you out there going to agencies, doing seminars. And if you can connect with that one person out there in the crowd that comes up to you and says, "John, I want to give you a hug. Thank you, brother. You helped me tremendously." Shit. That's all
right.
It takes, man.
Right. I had a guy come up. He goes, "I needed to hear you today." Mm-hmm. I go, "Now that guy's got some shit going on, right?"
Yeah.
"I needed to hear you today." I go, "Right. All right, brother." I, you know, and I think, like I said, at the end of the day, anything that we need to be proactive about this, mm-hmm. right? Front end stuff. Definitely, like you said, on the front end. Because, you know, the other thing I talk about in the book is, you know, dealing with shit when it first arrives. Mm-hmm. When the problem is still relatively small and manageable, that's when we need to be tackling it. And that only happens if we're educated and informed and empowered.
Yeah.
If we, again, creating that environment.
Yes.
There's a chief down in North Miami, a guy named Larry Chiriga. Great boss. He sat me down when I brought my program to them. He goes, "Listen, this is all I care about. They need to know that it's okay. They need to know that it's safe here. They need to know that I support them 100%. They need to know that I don't care about what it is that they're going through as long as that they get the help that they need to get. Mm-hmm. They don't need to fear administration. We will do everything in our power to make sure that they're healthy mentally and physically." I said, "Brother, can you send that out in an email to your other chiefs and bosses and sheriffs in the neighborhood? Because that message isn't getting out there."
Yeah. Yeah. And you know this, brother, but for the listener out there, and what I tell people sometimes, again, I'm not trying to sound like a dick, but your problems are not unique. So maybe your problem is alcohol or drugs or mental health. Look, the good thing about that, and it's not a good thing that you're suffering, but people have gone through the same thing you
don't
are
need
going
to reinvent
through.
The wheel, man.
Yeah. Divorce, financial ruin, alcoholism, right. Mental health. There's so many people out there. So it goes back to your point, brother. You are not alone.
Right.
Your problems are not something different that people before you haven't gone through successfully right. And navigated. And now they're living productive life and they're helping people.
You're 100% right, Fitz. And, you know, in the seminar, I say, listen, you know, this is what I want you to do. I just presented to a bunch of captains at my old agency. And I said, listen, I want you to listen to what I say. I want you to open your ears and open your heart. See, because, you know, when you talk to bosses, man, bosses know everything.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I said, just give me this. Give me these 2 hours and just listen. And I'm guaranteeing that something I'm going to say, you're going to connect with. And if you don't connect with it, you know somebody that you're responsible for. Mm-hmm. That's going through exactly the same thing I'm talking about here. I said, so, absolutely. You know, that call to action, that moral obligation, man, you want to be a boss? Being a boss isn't about fucking vehicle inspection forms and polishing your shoes and shit like that. Being a boss, being a leader is about caring for your people like nobody else.
Yep.
And that, you know, there are some bosses out there that their troops would die for. Because they're an amazing leader and they get it. There are some bosses out there that guys wouldn't piss on if they were on fire.
Yeah.
Because they just have prioritized all the wrong things. And so, you know, and that's, you know, that's the out I give guys too, is like, listen, I'm going to say some messed up things today. And if it applies to you, great, run with it, do something about it. Yeah. But if it doesn't, it more likely than not applies to somebody under your care.
Absolutely.
Right. So do something about it. Right. Absolutely. Bring that guy in. Don't rip him a new ass, but bring him in and give him a hug and say, hey, brother, how do we get you back on track? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that would be awesome.
Absolutely. Tell us about your book, brother. Where can people find it?
So listen to this, right? So I'm doing an official, right? Because I know that I don't know, and I got people helping me and guiding me. I'm doing an official book launch in June.
Man, we got to have you back on the show, brother.
That would be awesome, man. So, but the name of the book is Surviving Self-Inflicted Wounds, A Deputy's Life of Redemption. And
wow.
It's about my journey, man. It's about me falling into a hole.
Yeah.
It's about my alcoholism, my adultery, my addiction. It's about me wanting to hurt myself. It's about me destroying a marriage and then building it back. It's about it's about falling. Mm-hmm. And it's about getting up. And sometimes I got up on my own, but more often than not, it was with the help of my brothers, and friends that helped me get up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it talks about all those things. After each chapter, I've got like a worksheet page, like for you to do some writing and some thinking. And I throw some questions out there to kind of get you thinking about some things that you might've not been thinking about. I talk about some things and my wife has been amazing, man. Someday, hopefully, you know, in your travels back and forth, brother, we'll get together. I'd love for you
absolutely.
To meet her. She is
absolutely.
She's about as solid as anybody can be, man. She, her perspective and what she did and how she coped, I think is a story that needs to be told as well.
Yeah.
Because right, you know, we talk about what we put ourselves through, right? But you know. What we're going through, you know, we're doing things and creating environments for our family that are just as unhealthy.
Absolutely.
And the fact that, you know, she decided to stick around when she loved me at a time, brother, when I gave her absolutely no reason to do so.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a strong,
anybody
strong
can
woman.
Love somebody, man, when the money's rolling and everybody's, you know, vacationing and everything. Love somebody that is tearing your heart apart, that's making you curl into the fetal position and sob every night.
Yeah.
I don't know how she fucking did it, but she did. So yeah, man, surviving self-inflicted wounds, a deputy's life of redemption, coming, officially being released in June. And, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do to get the word out. And,
oh, man. I can't wait for that to come out.
Yeah, brother. You know what, brother? So, you know, I know that I don't know, but I've had a couple people read the unedited version of it. Two people that didn't know me, they knew me casually, right? And then they reached out and they went, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Dude, I couldn't put it down. Two, I wanted to fly to you and give you and your wife a hug."
Yeah.
And he said, "I got lost in it, man, because everything you were talking about, I experienced," right? Yeah. And there it is, man. You're not alone. Your situation is not unique.
Yeah.
There are guys that are going through, have been through the exact same thing you're going through, man. The names, the situations are the same. Just change the names, man.
Absolutely.
And it's the same shit. And I had some people come to this realization like, "Hey, listen, this needs to be in everybody's hands." Now, listen, I know. I'm like I told you, I'm a moron, bro. I try to fight the good fight, man. I try, you know, I stay in my lane, man. I know where I belong, man. But this is something I think, you know, that book, Emotional Survival.
Oh yeah, Gil Martin. Yeah.
Right. But it's like 20 years old now. Right. And it's pretty clinical, right?
Yeah.
This is my thing, man. I want this to, you know, those books that they put out like Word, Excel for dummies.
Yeah.
I want surviving self-inflicted wounds to be that book for dummies, right? Yeah. I break it down real easy, you know, to that book, to that clinical book that talks about case studies and things. And I think if we can just start doing a little bit of a better job of taking care of ourselves, making ourselves a priority, that we can be in a better position to take care of the people that mean the most to us, which is our family and the people that we go to work with every night fighting evil, man. I truly believe, and I don't think I'm an optimist, overly optimistic. I don't think I'm naive. I truly believe that we have the power to change this culture in a very positive way. And it's like anything else, man. It's going to take people stepping up. And, you know, well, again, like I said, if not me, then who? If not you, then who, brother?
And I love it, man. I can't wait for it to come out, brother. It sounds very powerful. And you are an incredibly strong person, John. I'm sure people tell you that, but it takes some serious, you know what, to get out there and tell your story. It takes strength. It takes courage. But I admire the hell out of what you're doing, brother, because you are telling a story that is painful, you know, spots in that story, but it's helping so many people. And I love what you said about, you know, you need people. I always tell people, look, life is not a solo sport. I mean, you need people. You need so many people out there think, I'm an island. I can do this shit. I can get through it. I was one of those people. Right. You need people in your life. And another thing I tell people, brother, I don't know if you agree with this, but one of the things I tell cops is get fucking friends outside of law enforcement.
Oh, 100%. Listen.
Cultivate those relationships. Some of the most strongest relationships I have, again, this is not a ding to all the brave men and women out there who serve, is friendships outside of law enforcement.
Right, right. Because you know what happens too, Fitz? The other part of that is that's so important because I got to tell you, when all your friends are fucking crazy, then crazy becomes normal.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. And you wonder why people outside of the law enforcement circle, they kind of look at you and they tilt their head like that dog that just heard that funny sound.
Yeah.
Because your crazy has become normal in that world. And when you associate with people outside of the crazy, that's the beginning of maybe you realizing that, maybe I don't have a handle on this.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something wrong. And that's what happens, man. You know, I've come to develop friendships across a very broad spectrum of people, right? Mm-hmm. Different ethnicities, different races, different beliefs, different occupations, socioeconomic, and everybody brings something to the table.
Absolutely.
Right? everybody has a voice, and everybody brings something unique to the table. And I think when we try to isolate ourselves, and we don't allow civilians, for lack of a better term, right? Mm-hmm. We don't allow people outside of the clique in. I think that's the beginning of us doing ourselves a disservice.
Absolutely. And the one thing I learned over the years, took me a long time to realize this, is most people are good people. You know, I mean, I just believe that most people are good people. They got jobs, they're trying to raise families. We just deal with that 10%, brother. You know that. The listener knows that gets us jaded.
Yep.
And gets us with this myopic view of the world. And I was one of those people. I remember my ex-wife, when we were still together, when we first started dating, she was like, I want you to meet some of my friends. I said, sure, give me their DOBs and I'll run them. I'll make sure they don't have any warrants and shit like that.
Right.
Because I don't want to hang out with them unless they have a star or a badge.
Oh my God. Right. I know. But then she worked on me.
And then the more friendships I grew outside of law enforcement, the happier I got. Again, that's not a slight on law enforcement. I love the law enforcement profession, but that is reality.
And it gets back to another thing, man. It's about having balance. Mm-hmm. Just having balance, having balance in your associations, having balance in your life. It's all part of this big picture, man. And doing anything to one extreme, it's not healthy. It's never going to be beneficial.
No,
no matter what it is.
John Kelly, where can people find you, brother? If they're listening right now, and they're somewhere in the country, and they say, "Hey, I want this guy, this amazing individual, John Kelly, to come in there and talk to my troops or my organization." How can they reach out to you, brother?
So I have a website. It's called lawenforcementlifecoach.com. All one word. Mm-hmm. I know I couldn't have made it any longer, right? lawenforcementlifecoach.com. That's the website. And that directly signals me when somebody reaches out. And I'm blessed, brother. I'm going to Iowa.
Iowa.
I'm going to Iowa in September. There's a first responders wellness conference being put on by the Peer Support Network and the FOP of Iowa. And I'm going out there and I'm speaking to those folks about the program and about what we need to be doing for ourselves. And to think things got a little crazy, I'm going to be going down to Key West in May.
Oh, rough life.
Dude, buddy. So the FBI, I'm speaking at their executive development session down in Key West in May for the FBI. And so, dude, I'm blessed. I'm excited about the future. Every day I'm on the phone or the computer trying to connect with people and to get this word out. And you've been doing this, you know, not blowing smoke, brother, man, but, you know, like you're at the top of the mountain, right? And you're helping so many people and you've established this amazing network of caring. And, you know, that's something I'd like to model myself after.
Yeah. Well, I'm just a squirrel in the world trying to get a nut, brother.
you and me, bro. You and me both, but brother.
John, man, it has been an honor talking to you, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you making the time for me.
And anything I can do to help you in your success. You're already successful, brother, but I can't wait to meet you in person. And
absolutely. Again,
brother, you got my contact information. Everything that we talked about, folks, will be linked up in the show notes. John's contact information, his amazing website, all the work he's doing. So please reach out to John. He's doing amazing work for everybody out there. John, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.